thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
This morning, the message is the world's loneliest man. This might seem a strange image to show you. It is a little bit blurred. It's a bit grainy for obvious reasons, because this man was very, very hard to catch on camera. There was extremely rare footage that emerged about August of last year. I don't know if any of you picked it up on the news or social media. This footage emerged of a tribal member who had been called the loneliest man in the world. He was a 50-something-year-old man who had been living alone in the Brazilian Amazon for about 20-odd years. They reckon maybe 20, 25 years after the last members of his tribe had been murdered. And the BBC News continued the story by saying that this last remaining member of this uncontacted indigenous group in Brazil had died. Said the man, whose name was not known, had lived in total isolation for over 20 years. He was also known as the man of the hole, because he had dug deep holes, some of which he used to trap animals, and others perhaps for hiding places for himself. And then on the 23rd of August last year, he was found dead in his hammock. The world's loneliest man. But was this poor, isolated Amazonian man really the world's loneliest man? I don't think so. I think that when we look at Scripture, we can see a number of people who can take that accolade from him. We're going to look this morning at two real-life characters who we find in the Old Testament, and we're going to look at two men who are subjects who appear within a parable that Jesus had told. The first person that we're going to look at is Adam and the Garden of Eden. And that's not a spelling mistake, by the way. Adam and the Garden of Eden. We're going to look at Jonah and the sea monster's Airbnb. We're going to look at the prodigal who had brunch with the pigs. I don't think there was any sodas there, Johnny. And we're going to look at a millionaire who couldn't buy a drink. All these men became extremely lonely and isolated because in one way or another, they either walked away from God, they disobeyed him in some way, or they failed to have a personal relationship with him. And that's why when we were reading in Ephesians, and the same word come up in those five passages, which was to do with our walk, I truly believe that we can all learn from the serious mistakes that these four men made. So the first one, of course, the first man is, of course, the first man, isn't he? Adam, the first man ever to have lived. The first Adam who was created and not born. The first ruler over the kingdoms of the world. The first person to have major surgery. The first human to have walked with God, and the first man to have strife, I mean a wife. Adam and the Garden of Eden. He was exiled from Eden for Eden. He was put out of paradise for pride because he didn't listen to God, and he ate what he shouldn't have. We're not quite sure it was an apple, but anyhow, it certainly was the forbidden fruit. Adam lost his intimate relationship with God through disobedience. And never again in Scripture do we read of Adam and God walking with each other. And this is so sad because Genesis tells us that they used to walk together in the cool of the day. I think that is such a beautiful verse. Can you conjure up in your mind a lovely summer's day? That was rough during the week, wasn't it? It was rough up around Ballymoney and the country roads. There's a story to tell sometime about Paul and Esther having to be pulled out by a tractor. Isn't that right, Elma and Declan? But just imagine the Garden of Eden, beautiful evening, and God and Adam are walking in the cool of the day. Excuse the pun, but how cool is that? Wow. Never again do we read in Scripture that God and Adam walked again. Nowhere, to my knowledge, in the Bible do we ever read that Adam repented of his sin. To my knowledge. How sad it is to think that Adam, our distant ancestor, the man who had so many privileges, who had such a close and intimate fellowship with Almighty God, could become one of the world's loneliest men. Adam, the keeper of the garden, lost his way and he lost the keys of the garden. And in the process, he lost his purpose for life, which is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Tragically, he lost his intimate walk with God. You see, this is what sin and it's what disobedience does. It drives a wedge between us and God. It puts up a barrier to fellowship and a barrier to blessing. Sin destroys our walk with God. And it started with Adam, with one wee bite of the forbidden fruit. You see, disobedience and sin makes us lonely people because we no longer have that same relationship with God. Adam failed God and thus mankind because he failed to follow God's commands. But was Adam the world's loneliest man? Or was it Jonah? The sea monster's B&B. He was the reluctant evangelist. He did a runner when God did a roll call. He went AWOL, absent without leave, instead of answering the call of God to serve him. You couldn't see Jonah for dust as he walked away or perhaps ran away in the opposite direction to where God had asked him to go. His disobedience put him into hot water, or perhaps more accurately into cold water, because he was thrown over the side of the ship. You'll know the story. I don't have to explain it to you. Jonah's only, I think, 4 chapters long. You can read it in 15 minutes just to get a refresher. But he ended up in the most unlikely Airbnb imaginable, inside the belly of this giant fish for 3 days. And for 3 nights, and strangely enough, there was no cost. Well, no financial cost, but there was a big cost to his relationship with God. And there he found himself in a dark, depressive, dismal, and utterly lonely place. You can't even imagine what it would be like to be spending any sort of time within the belly of a large fish, never mind for 3 days and 3 nights. He wouldn't have had his iPhone with him with the wee, you know, the wee torch you can put on. He couldn't have done that. He couldn't have zoomed around just to see what was happening. He wouldn't have got texts from his friends or anything like that. However, thankfully, in Jonah's life and experience, he realized the error of his ways and he prayed a prayer of repentance, as we all need to do when we disobey the Lord. And God answered his prayer. And the sea monster evicted him from his Airbnb. He spewed Jonah out and onto dry land. And that's only part of the story, isn't it? Because this reluctant evangelist not only repented of his ways, but he accepts the call of God once again to go and preach to the mighty heathen city of Nineveh. Nineveh was someplace. In one of church history's most successful evangelistic crusades, incredibly, the whole city's inhabitants, 120,000 people, we read, repent en masse, from the king right down to the most lowliest of persons within that major city, repent in Old Testament fashion and style with sackcloth and ashes, which was the way to that. That's how you showed that you had remorse, that you were repenting of your sin. You took your good clothes off and you put this sackcloth, which was coarse and a horrible thing. You wouldn't have got that in the style loft, Linda. This terrible sackcloth, and then you'd have put ashes over yourself. It was the sign or the demonstration that you were truly repenting of your sin. And we read that the whole city, 120,000 people, repented. They repented because of the grace and the mercy of God, but they repented because the reluctant evangelist repented and turned from his disobedient ways and obeyed the Lord and went and preached. He walked the city walls and he preached. We've said it before, you're only getting to know us. I know that Malcolm Duncan preached it at the induction services, and you got a second chances. I guarantee you that if we had time, and if every single one of you come up to this platform here, I guarantee you that every one of you could tell a story of second chances in your life, of God's grace and his mercy. However, was Jonah the world's loneliest man? Or was it the prodigal who had brunch with the pigs? Of course, he was the rebellious teenager, wasn't he? You know the story again. I don't need to go into the details, and time wouldn't permit it anyhow. He was the young lad with itchy feet. He was a rebel with a cause. And that cause was to live a life of wanton pleasure, to drink like a fish, to eat like a king, and to party like an animal. As if money was no object, and as if there was no tomorrow. And then, and we don't know the length of time that it took for the tide to turn, but it does turn. It does turn. Good fortune does turn. The error of our ways does have a stop date. And the tide turned for the proud prodigal, and a great famine swept the land. And you know the story. This rebel without a cause and without friends finds himself out of luck and out of money, lost and lonely in a foreign land. He finds himself with no money, no morals, and no mates. His only food and his only companions was having brunch with the pigs. And that was a heinous act for any Jewish person to associate themselves with an unclean animal. It just shows you how low the prodigal had actually fallen, how low he had stepped down, that he found himself feeding the animals that the Jewish nation had said were unclean. And then he wakes up one morning, as perhaps we all need to do, and he decides to make the lonely journey back home. And again, my mind runs wild. Did he walk barefooted? I don't know. Were his shoes worn out? Did he sell his shoes for his last supper? I don't know. But he makes his way back to his father, and while he does, He's thinking in his mind what he's going to say to his father. You can just imagine it. If it was you or I, we'd be doing the same. Oh, what am I going to say to my dad? Oh, what's my brother going to say? What are the hired servants going to say? Oh, I don't know. Oh, listen, I can only just throw myself at his feet and throw myself at his mercy. And so, with his tail behind his legs, with his pockets empty, and I'm sure with his belly aching with hunger, he comes back to beg forgiveness from his old dad, the man who he once despised and rejected. And again, this is a parable. This is a picture of how we can reject God, how we can walk away from him. But the father never once gave up hope of seeing his son again. Never once. Never once did he give up hope of receiving him back again. And then we read and we see the picture how the father, perhaps from the rooftop of his house with his binoculars on, was looking. Maybe every day he looked out to see if there was this wee plume of dust. And this morning, this day, he saw it. Could it be? Could that be my son? And it says that the father ran. Undignified for a Jewish man to do that. He ran and he embraced the son. The son and the father are reunited once again. A stunning picture of grace and the forgiveness of Almighty God. A beautiful picture of us as the children of God. When we come to our senses, when we have perhaps gone a direction that we should not have gone. It's also a picture of one who perhaps has come to the Lord God Almighty for the first time, because we are all God's children, every single one of us. The prodigal repented of his sin. He walks back into the arms of the Father. And this story warns us, because that's what Scripture often does. It warns us to watch our walk with God. For surely, I challenge you and I put it out there, is there not a prodigal within every one of us? Is there not a prodigal spirit within every one of us if we're not careful, that we want to do our own thing and go our own way? So folks, as I try and bring this into land this morning, was the prodigal the world's loneliest man, or was it the millionaire who couldn't buy a drink? This is the New Testament story that Jesus told, a rich man, poor man story, of how death turned the tables on these two neighbours who were strangers all their lives. I call him a millionaire. The Bible calls him the rich man. The rich man who lacked nothing in his life, yet he lacked everything in relation to eternity. And we read of this poor man who lay at the gates of this millionaire's mansion, who hadn't a penny. In fact, I think Jesus said that even the dogs would have come and licked his wounds. That's how poor he was, that his sores and his wounds, he hadn't the money to get treatment, that the dogs would have come and would have licked his wounds. This poor man lay at the gates of his mansion. He hadn't a penny, but he was rich in spirit because he was a child of God. This parable paints a stark warning of what really matters in life and what really counts for eternity. Because both men die and both men depart this scene of time within a short period of time of one and other. The poor man who had walked with God was welcomed into the splendor of heaven, while the rich man who had rejected God to the horror of a lost eternity. Was this millionaire the world's loneliest man? I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that he was. And I'll tell you for why. You see, this man had crossed the bridge. He had crossed the Rubicon. He had crossed over from life to death. While Adam was still alive, he had an opportunity to repent. Jonah had an opportunity to repent. The prodigal had an opportunity to repent because they were still living. But this rich man had crossed over. He had crossed the divide from life to death. And he had entered a lost eternity without God and without hope. A place where he pleaded for even a small drink of water to quench his thirst. Do you remember that the story where it says that he saw the poor man in Abraham's bosom? And there was this enormous gulf between the two. And he says, please, please send this man, he might even call it Lazarus perhaps, please send him to dip his finger in some water and to cool my tongue. See, the millionaire couldn't even buy a drink. His money was no use to him there. He pleaded for his thirst to be quenched, one that was sadly denied of him. This powerful parable that Jesus told serves as an undeniable fact that there are two roads in life that we walk upon. There's the broad road and there's the narrow road. There's a heaven to be gained and there's a hell to be shunned. There's a life of everlasting joy and happiness in the presence of our Lord and Savior. And there's a life of untold misery and loneliness and separation from our Creator, Almighty God. There are two destinations. So as I finish here this morning, what is the main thing that we can learn this morning from these stories of these four lonely men who each and every one of them had rejected God at one point in their lives? It's simple. And you know that's how I like to preach. Watch your walk. Watch your walk. Number one, make sure you walk in fellowship with God daily. I'm telling you what you already know. You know that, and I know that. Number one, make sure you walk in fellowship with God daily, however that looks for you. Number two, make sure your walk with God is marked with obedience. Yeah? Make sure your walk with God is marked with obedience. And the third point, make sure if your walk with God is disrupted, and let's be honest, it does get disrupted. It's been disrupted many, many times in my life and in my Christian journey. Many times, more than I could care to tell you. But make sure if your walk with God is disrupted by sin, by pride, by disobedience, by whatever, that you keep short accounts with God. Yeah? That you keep a short account with God. That you repent of your wayward ways and you return quickly to the arms of the loving Father. Thank God. He's a gracious and he's a merciful Father and he welcomes us back with open arms. Let's pray. Lord, our walk with you is precious. Lord, we're such a privileged people to walk with you. And Lord, I pray that in every one of our hearts, my own included, Lord, that we would desire to walk closely with you. Lord, that we would walk in fellowship with you daily. Lord, that we would walk in obedience with you daily. And Lord, if for any reason, Lord, that we stray or disobey you or do our own thing or go our own way, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would quickly come back to you. Lord, that we would keep short accounts with you. That, Lord, that we would repent of our sin. We would ask you for forgiveness and that we would run back into your arms. Lord, we thank you that the table is a beautiful time when we can do exactly that. We just hit the reset button. We come to you around the table with the emblems that represent your body that was broken and your blood that was shed. And we say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Thank you for dying for me. So, Lord, we pray you would continue to tarry with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. And your love
is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.